Pastor Darren didn't know that.
Holy Ghost did. He's good. He's a wonderful Savior. He did it for you and I. He loves it. The Word says He inhabits the praises of His people. When we raise our hands, when we lift our voice to Him, His presence inhabits us. Isn't that good? He meets us right where we are every time. No matter what need we have, big or small to us, it doesn't matter to God. They're all small to Him. No matter if it's something we're dealing with in our finances, in our family, in our bodies, He knows. Glory to God. Father, tonight we just thank You and we praise You, Father, for Your goodness, Father, for Your mercy and Your grace, Father, for Your glory that's in this place, Father God. We just thank You tonight that You would just teach us by Your Holy Spirit, minister to us, Father God. Let my lips and let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer, Father God, ready to speak Your words and write upon the hearts of every man and woman in this place, Father God. Holy Spirit, teach us, show us things to come. Bring things to our remembrance. Give us those things that we need. And Father God, we just thank You again for Your presence and Your glory in this place. We thank You that every need is met tonight in Your power and Your grace, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Y'all can be seated. If you would, we do have a prayer request that I'd like to for you guys to hook up with us in just agreement for this need. There's a person here that had open heart surgery, and today their heart went into AFib, and she's developed pneumonia. So we're just going to believe God, right? That's what we do. That's what believers do. They believe God. We trust God. And for this one, there's a member that's here that knows them, and they can lay hands on them for us. But we can agree with them, all right? So, Father, we just lift up this one in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we just thank You that You anoint the one that turned this in, Father God. Anoint their hands, Father God, to place it upon this person, to transfer anointing into their body. Father, we thank You that Your Word says, we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Father, we thank You that You created this heart. You created this heart to operate properly. So, enemy, You have to take Your hands off in the name of Jesus. We're not going to take no for an answer. Father, we're standing in the gap for this one. We're agreeing with this family that she will be whole in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, tonight, just want to thank Pastor Andy. Of course, he snuck upstairs again with the youth group, so he's not here with us down here, but he's checking things out upstairs and wanting to hear, I guess, Jeff minister and see how, you know, just get a feel for what's going on up there. And he did it to me a couple times, and he never really gave me a warning either. So, hey, you know, that's just the position, right? You just, but they have fun. They've got some good kids up there, and Pastor Jeff is a wonderful guy that he'll do a great job tonight. So I just want to remind you that Pastor David is in Africa to keep him in your prayers for protection, of course, for him to walk in anointing and speak the words of God. And minister as God gives him the ability, right, to speak the right things. He'll be ministering in the Bible school there 5 days a week, and then he'll be going into churches, area churches, building up pastors on Sundays. So he's got a great work ahead of him that I don't sweat like Pastor Andy. I won't be needing those. But he'll be needing your prayers. You know, he's in a great place. And if you're supporting David Dibelbus Ministries, your money is there. Your seed is there. And if you have questions about who Pastor David is, some of the new folks don't know who he is. He was a pastor before Pastor Andy, and we're still hooked up with him completely. We support him. And so if you want to look into his ministry, you can go on our website. Actually, we have a link that you can go straight to his ministry, David Dibelbus Ministry. So, and also, too, like I said, I want to, you know, thank Pastor. He's just a wonderful, wonderful leader, isn't he? He's a guy you can get behind. He's not scared. He's not afraid. He's gonna march and go. All right. And if you're with him, let's go. And if you're not, you know, he can't. He's not gonna stop and, you know, drag us along. He's not. You know, he'll offer a hand, but he's not gonna pull us. You know, if we're dragging our feet, he's not gonna waste time pulling and effort. He's gonna go with God, and that's what I love about him. He's gonna make a call. He's gonna listen to the Holy Ghost. He's gonna make a call, and he's gonna stand by it. You know, I think that's the umpire coming out in him. You know, all the years he umpired. If you guys knew Pastor Andy before, he probably hadn't umpired in a decade, right? probably since Jackson was little bitty, because I remember I quit about the same time he quit. And so he taught me how to umpire, and it was a lot of fun. A lot of that stuff goes into ministry where you just have to do what you've got to do. And it doesn't matter who's screaming and yelling, who's just standing on their head. You just got to do what you've got to do and follow God and do the right thing. So tonight we're going to do tithes and offerings first. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Just real quick. The tithe is a big deal at our house. We celebrate when we get our tax information in and how much you give. We like to celebrate that. Amen. You know, that's not a bill, right? It's not how much went down the drain. You know, that's not much how much went down the pipe. No, it's a celebration time. It's we get excited when we get it and think, we're better than we thought we were going to be, right? You know, because we set goals every time that we want to do this, we want to do that. And 2 years ago, we set a goal to be at a certain amount, and we just, if I would have known, if I'd have kept up how much we were sowing, I'd have given that extra little bit of money to get over the top, you know. And but we just didn't. I didn't really keep up with it that good or that well. And but last year we hit a benchmark, and this year, you know, we just set it every year. We just want to increase. God, we serve a God that's a God of increase. He doesn't want us to get to a point and have to fall back and redo. Now, there may be points of training and things like that that he'll take us through, but for the most part, he wants us to increase from glory to glory. So tithes and offering time, it's a celebration time for us. It's an opportunity to sow seed and to give, you know, into a great ministry, and not just this church, but the ministry of the kingdom, right? That's what we're giving into. But this church just plays a part into the kingdom, you know, increase in the kingdom. That's exciting to me. I don't know about you, but Matthew chapter 6, it says in verse 25, verse 24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And Pastor Andy makes the point that Jesus didn't say you've got to choose whether to serve God or the devil, you know, or God or the enemy. He said God and money. So how many of you know money's a big deal? It's a big deal. So he goes on to say, this whole chapter is full of red. You know, this is just him speaking. He says in verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you," this is Jesus talking to his disciples, he says, "I tell you, take no thought," and I have in parentheses in my Bible, I don't know if you write in your Bible or not, but I encourage it highly. I put anxious thought. "Take no anxious thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on, what you're going to wear. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they?" And then we'll go on down to verse 31. He says, "Therefore take no thought," again, no anxious thought, saying, how do you take a thought? He tells us right here, you say it. You know, if that thought comes, well, we're not going to make it this month. We're going to get behind. We're going to get, you know, this is coming, this is coming. He says, don't say it. There may be a bill in your face saying, you've got to pay this. You're due. You got to do this. You've got to pay this. Right? But Jesus says, don't even give it a thought to where you're talking about it. Just bring it to him. Let him take care of it. And he gives us a key on down further in this chapter. He says, "Take no thought, saying, what shall you eat, what shall you drink, or how you're going to be clothed." He says, "For all these things do the Gentiles seek." And the Gentiles are kind of just a shadow of, you know, the world outside of covenant with God. He says, everybody, the world, the whole world seeks after these things. He says, "But for your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things." God knows it. Are we going to bring a problem to him that he didn't know, realize that we have? No, you're not going to give any surprise to God. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or his right thinking, his way of doing things, and all these things will be added unto you. He says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day of the evil thereof. In other words, basically what he's saying is, lean on God. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, who's going to pay the bill, how you're going to get it. If you're seeking God, he's going to tell you how to take care of that. Or he's going to send things across your path. Now, if you have a need, just for an example, if you have a need, something extra coming up, and you just don't know how you're going to pay for it, right? If we're seeking God first, number one, he'll clarify whether it's a need or not. You may not need that thing that you think you need, but the Holy Ghost does. So if we seek him first, he'll clean up all the extras, the stuff we don't really need, things we don't need to be messing with, all right? And then if it is a need that is, in fact, something that we need and we don't have the money for it, he will show you what to do. Whether it's sow a seed here, sow a seed there, take an extra job, whatever it may be, Holy Ghost will tell you what to do. So that's the important thing of seeking first the kingdom of God. Why first? Well, the Holy Ghost knows. He knows everything. He knows our bills. He knows what's coming. He knows what we're about to do, what we need to do. So if we seek him first, when we do that first, it's like we get the word of God in our eyes instead of the problem. Instead of looking at a bill and going, oh my gosh, what are we going to do with this? We're thinking about college or sending kids to wherever, daycare. I mean, we got our bill for, you know, a little tax thing for daycare. I don't want to pass out. That's not something I danced and shouted about. I was glad it was paid for, and it's not debt. But I thought, man, I'd wipe my forehead. I thought, good night. And then that was just for one kid. I wasn't counting the other one. Oh, bless God. Right? Man, sometimes you look at the thing and, man, the numbers just... But what God has taught us, the Waller family, is that the more you lean on God, you know, 20 years ago, $100 was a big, big deal. 10 years ago, $1,000 was a really, really big deal. Now it's God has taught me that he can get it to me. If I need it and I'll seek him first, he'll take care of it. I don't have to worry about the problem. I don't even have to worry about how he's going to get it to me. All I have to think about is this what you want me to do? Is this where you want me to be? If it's to go on a mission trip, God, this is yours. You tell me what to do. Y'all ever seen the movie Where the Red Fern Grows? Let me see your hands. Who's seen that movie? If you haven't seen that movie, you need to see that movie. I don't know when it was made. Back, I don't know. Does anybody have an idea when the thing was made? In the 60s or something? Or 50s? Man, it's way back. Well, I read the book when I was in grade school. The book was fantastic. I saw the movie, got hooked on it. It's my favorite movie of all time. And now my boys like it, right? But in the movie, this kid named Billy Coleman, if you hadn't seen it in a while, you know, it may stir you up and get you, watch it again, get some popcorn this Friday night. But anyway, this kid, Billy Coleman, he has some coon dogs, and he believes God for the coon dogs, basically, to get them. And his grandpa told him how to do it, and he had to, you know, trust God to do his part, and he had to do his part. So Billy had to do his part to do the work, all right, to, you know, chop the firewood and help and make extra money doing extra jobs. And then it comes down to his dogs tree the first coon, and he promised his dog that he was gonna catch the first coon no matter what. It was a huge sycamore tree, remember? Huge tree, right? And so the kid has to chop this tree down to honor his word to his dogs. And during the middle of this, he's chopping tree. Well, he stays out all night, falls asleep. He's got, you know, barely got the tree, you know, barely just, I mean, it's a huge, gigantic tree. So he knocks out a little spot and his hands are all sore, and his mama comes looking for him because she's worried about him or whatever, and she gets there. And so she gives him some pair of gloves and a boiled egg and some stuff to eat and some stuff for the biscuits for the dogs or whatever. And I've seen it about 125 times, so I pretty well could tell you every word. But anyway, after that, he goes back to whacking on the tree, and he's just exhausted, right? So he steps back, and he kind of complains to God. He says, you know what, I've done my part. I've done my fair share. And, you know, he was just basically telling God, I've come halfway. You know, can't you just a little bit, and all of a sudden the wind starts blowing. Y'all know the story, right? The wind starts blowing and this big tree crashes. Boom, huge tree. Well, that's what it is. We do our part and God will take care of His. He's always faithful. He will never let us down. If we put Him first, we put the Word of God first, we see it first, we see the provision first, we see the strength first, we see the promise first before you dive into the bills. That's why the tithe is supposed to come first. We take care of the tithe. And we say, God, this is you're being faithful. We trust you. So that what's coming next, it'll get taken care of, right? It'll give you wisdom in those things. So let's take up tithes and offerings tonight. Let's just pray over it. Father, we just thank you tonight for your faithfulness, Father God, to increase our giving. And we thank you, Father God, that you just give us the faith, Father God, to sow seed into your kingdom and know that you're going to increase it. So, Father, tonight we thank you for tithes and offerings. We thank you for the opportunity to sow seed into your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give. Now, as they're passing the buckets, you guys can go ahead and turn to Mark. Just flip over a little bit to Mark chapter 11. That's where we're going to start. Glory to God. And I left my shotgun shell in my truck. I just thought about it during praise and worship. But we're going to review some of the things we talked about last week. Well, Mark chapter 11, verse 22. I'm in Matthew. What did I tell you? Just a few pages? I did the same thing. That's not right. Mark, not Matthew. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus tells his disciples, real simple, have faith in God. He's encouraging them. Let's just read it. It says, "For truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he can have whatsoever he says." Now, you know, Pastor Andy, he's used this scripture the last couple weeks, and you guys should be very, very familiar with it. And basically what Jesus is telling them is that you have to put the words in your mouth to make things happen. You have to have faith first, then you have to speak out that faith. If you don't have faith in you, it's not going to come out of your mouth. Now, last week I gave you three things. I gave you three things that faith has to operate. Now, I mean, the reason we have to know, I mean, we live by faith. The Word says, Galatians 5, 6, the just are supposed to live by faith. So you and I, we're born again, we're supposed to be walking in faith, living by faith. Well, how are we going to live by it if we don't know what it is or how it operates? Well, number one, it operates by love. It operates by love. Galatians 5, 6 says, faith works by love. And number two, it works by speaking. Mark chapter 11. We have to put action to our words, to our beliefs, what's in us. The Word also says that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. I don't have that in my notes, but I think it's Matthew 18, 23. I'm pretty sure. It's whatever's in our heart is going to come out of our mouth. There's an order to it. There's an order to everything with God. So number one, faith has got to have love. It works by love. Number two, it's got to have words. Number three, it's got to have actions, right? We got to get our feet moving. So those are just three things I gave you last week. And this is kind of the process, really, because where it talks about out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth is going to speak. In other words, if we have it in our heart in abundance, it's going to come out of our mouth. We can't try to get it in our mouth to get it in our heart. We have to get it in our heart first. Now, you can speak and meditate, and that's part of it, but just what's coming out of your mouth as you react to a situation. You know, I'm a baseball guy. When I was growing up, I played baseball. That's what I did. And even when I got to high school ball, where you think you're big time, right? You're playing on a high school team. They break out the tees. The first week of practice, you're hitting off a tee. Like, my gosh, I thought I graduated past hitting off a tee. Well, what the whole deal is that they want you to do fundamentals first. They want you to do the basics first. And they want you to get your basics right in your fundamentals. And they want the ball sitting still so that you can work on your knees, your weight, your arms, your hands, everything. Real simple. And just they make you swing at a ball sitting still. And they make you train, you know, practice on hitting an inside pitch, hitting a middle pitch, and hitting an outside pitch. And they over and over and over, they do the same thing over. Like, you'll do an inside pitch. That's what they made us do. It makes you turn your hips different, turn your hands different. You hit it in a different spot on the plate. And they taught us that over and over and over every day. Break out a tee. And the infielders, we had to do pick drills where you field in the ball. Well, I've fielded thousands of ground balls in my life. Well, they'd have a partner, and he'd throw you little, they'd be on, we'd be on a knee, and they'd just throw balls. You had to pick it and make it bounce. Why? He was working on fundamentals so that when something happened, you know, you're standing at the in the plate, you don't have time to think about, oh yeah, I gotta, it's an inside pitch. No, your body just has to, it has to react. You have to be, your body has to be trained so when your eyes sees the ball where it's at, it just that fast you're swinging like you're supposed to swing. The Word of God's the same way. He wants us to practice. He wants us to get it in us. Meditate. That's why daily devotions are so big. We get it in us. We just keep piling it in. And we get a chance, when we walk out the door, we get to work, we get a chance to walk in love. We have a chance to speak, you know, things over our life. We have a chance to put the Word to work, right? He doesn't want us to come up to a situation, somebody needs prayer, well, give me a few minutes. And you got to go back and figure out where it's at and study and train how to, no, it ought to be in us so we can just, I'm not talking about just referencing something in your Bible. I'm talking about if somebody has a need and you got to figure out, okay, from the, like, the very root of it, how to fix it. No, he doesn't want that. He wants it in you so that when the situation comes, you can say, by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. The Word of God says this. The Word of God says that. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to react and get after it. Actually, he wants us to be proactive where we're ahead of that, because the Holy Ghost will show us things to come. He'll have us ready before we get there. But situations will come to you. We have to be ready, right? Holy Ghost will prepare us. Where did I tell you to turn? Mark 11? Is that where we're at? Glory to God. I got off on that somehow. Anyway, the words being in your heart. It's a process. We have to get the words in our heart, and then they come out of our mouth. And we're not gonna put any action to that stuff. This is how it works. It's thought, word, action. All right? If a guy's going to rob a bank, he doesn't just go rob a bank, right? If a guy's going to build a bridge, he doesn't just go build a bridge. They have to step back. They have to build it, plan it, get it in, the vision inside, right? And then they talk about it, figure out, okay, about, you know, and they're talking about it. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then they work. Then they put their hand around a hammer, right? It doesn't just happen. The same way with the Word of God. You've got to get it in you, then it comes out of your mouth, and you can put your hands on it, right? You can put it to work. So let me just give you two real quick from last week. Proverbs 18:21, we said life and death are in the power of the tongue. Well, that five-letter word power means power, dunamis. It means that it just gives us the knowing that we have power of life and death at the tip of our tongue. You know, last week we talked about a miracle being in our mouth. It's at the tip of our tongue. And I told you last week, you know, I told the story about Jackson's deer, right? And I told you we had to pull the trigger. Well, I had the sermon and the title and all that stuff before he actually shot the deer, before we even went hunting. I'd already had all that stuff ahead of time. That's how the Holy Ghost works, right? That's why, you know, when I tell the story, I'm just like, this is a God deal, man. I'm just telling you right now, it was a God deal. Not very many six-year-olds have killed a deer in their life, I promise. I mean, I was like 10 or 11 before I killed my first one. You know, I was way older. And I missed a few before I killed my first one. So all that took place prior to him killing a deer. So pulling the trigger is basically letting the words fly. So Proverbs 18:21 tells us that there is power in our tongue. Our words, we choose life or death. And then we said, I looked at James chapter 3. I actually just turn over there real quick. You know, Pastor Andy, he's just following the Holy Ghost, and he's trying to teach us the power of what we say. And a lot of us, we know it already. We've heard it. We know it. It's good to be reminded and understand the power that we have. Why does James say, be slow to speak and quick to listen? Why does he say that? Well, because once we let the words fly, you can't get them back. Once they're gone, brother. And whatever you were pointing at just got life or death, period. Right? So James chapter 3, let's see, we're going to skip over just a little bit and just kind of grab some bits and pieces in the middle. Look at verse 3. He's talking about the power of our tongue. He says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. It's just a small thing over a big horse, We have a 700-pounder at our house, a little pony, right? He doesn't even wear a bit anymore. I mean, he's so old, it wouldn't do any good, I don't think. But he just knows what to do. He's just one of those horses, just like, all right, that's cool, whatever. And normally we lead him around the yard with a little lead rope. And lately, I've gotten the boys, they just rode him Monday, as a matter of fact, because he got out of his pen. We worked on his feet, and Heath DeMoss, he's the one that gave him to us, and he came and worked on his feet. He was having some trouble with his feet. I'm not a cowboy, so I don't know all that stuff. But Mr. Joe knows exactly what happened. I mean, he could say the word and all that. What's it called? Foundered, yeah. So anyway, we didn't trim his feet like we were supposed to, apparently. So anyway, I got a guy coming that's going to do it on a regular basis. I don't have to think about it because I don't know a clue. I don't have a clue. It's like trimming his fingernails, but literally chopping off that much of the... Oh, it's crazy. It just hurts me. Anyway, so normally we lead him around. Well, he got out of his pen a few nights ago. It must have been Sunday night. And I said, I'm going to ride you. And like, he broke the fence. Like, the hot wire was busted. I had to repair it. And I had a whole list of stuff to do on my day off. And now I got to go fix the fence first. And I already had all this stuff lined up. It's going to take me a couple hours. I know he's already burned a couple hours of my day. Buddy, we're going to ride you tomorrow. I guarantee you we're going to ride you tomorrow. So we did. And I put Nolan and Jackson on there. They led each other around the yard, you know, just around. And just I was working in my shop, and they just, you know, I told them, I said, just stay where you can see the shop, and if you need something, holler, you know. So old Smokey, he knows what to do. He kind of knows the drill. But what the boys don't realize is when he gets headed towards the barn, he thinks this is the last ride. He wants to just go on to the barn. So I have to kind of intercept him, you know, right there and get him turned back around. Well, Jackson wanted to ride him by himself. He doesn't have a bit. I don't even own a bit, I don't think. You know, I wouldn't even know how to put one in if I had to. But anyway, so Jackson wanted to ride him like a big boy. He didn't want me to lead him. I said, okay. I said, let's give it a shot. So I nudged old Smokey and got him going, and I kind of trotted ahead of him, and I ran around the house so he couldn't see me. Well, Smokey, he's smart. He's real smart. He's 135 years old or something anyway. He knew exactly what I was doing. So I take off around the house, you know, and I thought he was just going to keep walking looking for me. Well, he goes around. He knows I'm coming around. And Jackson's hollering. I can hear him, but I can't understand what he's saying. What he was telling me was, don't come around this side of the house because Smokey's coming around this side of the house. So we got him going back again, you know. And so Jackson, he's really getting to steering. He's really getting after him. Because I told him, I said, you got to kick him. When you want him to go, you got to kick him. If nobody's in front of him to tell him to go, you got to kick him. Turn your boot and give him a little kick. So he got going, and Smokey, he kept wanting to go back towards the barn. I told Jack, I said, just reach down real low on his rein and just pull as hard as you can pull and just keep doing it. So we worked at it about 10 minutes. And I have to go intercept him and tell him, no, Smoke, come on, get. And I'd push him back towards, you know, around the house, out towards the yard. About 10 minutes of that, he finally decided, you know what? These guys aren't going to quit. The sooner I obey, the sooner I can get back in the pen. Because they're just going to make me do this. We did. And Jackson, boy, he just went on, went around the house, down the hill, and came. Oh, how cool is that? So with a horse, 700-pound horse, and Jackson probably weighs 40-something pounds, you know, he's able to control the horse. Well, what King David says, and I'm not sure exactly the scripture reference. I should have looked it up. But I got it when I was standing here, but I didn't look it up. But he talks about, he asks God, he says, try my reins. Test me, right? He's telling God, you test me, you try me. So what David is trying to tell God is that I'm going to be easy. I'm going to let you steer me. Because you know, some horses, man, like old Smokey, they kind of get in their head what they want to do, and you kind of really have to work at it. But there's other horses that are in their prime and they're really good horses. All you got to do is just think about what you want to do, and they're just going to go, right? Well, we're like a horse in that aspect. We can be, God's steering us, the Holy Ghost is steering us. And if we get really stubborn, he's not going to yank and pull, you know. He's going to let us do what we want to do, and he's going to tug a little bit. But if our reins are light, if we just obey quickly, God can steer us. So James tells us our tongue is like putting a bit in a horse's mouth. What comes out of our mouth steers our life, right? And it's a little bitty thing, but it does big things. Because he compares it to a rudder on a ship next. A ship, not a boat, not a kayak, not a pirogue in Louisiana. No, a ship. huge. He says, the tongue is like a rudder on a ship. When you turn it, it can guide the thing no matter if it's a big... Because he says, he gives two things. He says, verse 4, he says, also the ships which though they be so great, such a big ship, and is driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm. In other words, there can be a big storm in your life. There can be something really big going on, swirling all around, wind going every direction, chaos. But your tongue can steer you right through it. Right? You take the Word of God, and out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak, and it'll get you right through that storm. I told you last week, just to remind you what Pastor David used to say, or does say, he says, if you talk about it, or speak to it, you'll get through it. Talk about it, you'll never get out of it. And that's real. That is the truth. We have to speak to it. So let's go on tonight. We're going to look at... Well, I said one more thing last week that the Holy Ghost gave me. He says, state the obvious and repeat it. Speak the truth and create the future. Because we can state the obvious. I'm broke. I'm poor. I'm sick. I'm tired. That's easy. That's your flesh. That's easy. It's simple. If you state the obvious, right, you repeat it. Just... you're broke, you're tired. Well, guess what you're going to be tomorrow? Broke and tired. What you going to be next week? Broke and tired. That's what, you know, used to drive me when I worked in the secular world. I mean, there would be grown men at my office or my job, and they would be talking about their old lady. Well, I couldn't find that was their wife. And they weren't that old. I mean, they're 40, 50 years old. Talking about their old, I'm thinking, well, how old is she? I just kind of... old lady, man, that doesn't sound fun at all. And I'm not even married. I'm a young guy, 18, 19, 20 years old. But I knew then that wasn't right. And they talk about, you know, how they did this and that, and they just got wrong, and they got this, and they didn't get a raise, and they got... good grief. Right? I mean, I knew, as a young boy, I knew. You just can't be talking like that. I went to my first job ever. I told you guys this one time before. My first job ever, my first real job, outside of working at like a gas station mowing grass, my first construction job, they go put me in this room with a team of guys that were demolitioning the inside of a building, and we were taking the second floor concrete out of the second floor and throwing it into a little metal container, I don't even know what it's called, a dumpster. So we're jackhammering and lifting these rocks and just taking it all out, you know, throwing it out the window. And, man, I'm just getting it. It's my first job, man. I'm getting it. I'm 17, 18 years old, got a truck, you know, trying to pay my, you know, buy my gas, take girls out on a date. You know, it's a big deal. And I get that paycheck. So, I'm just busting it. Everywhere I go, I'm running, you know. And I'm just got my hard hat on, my steel toes, and I'm running everywhere I go. And just I'm just fiery. And those guys told me, said, hey, slow down. What are you in a hurry for? I said, man, we're going to make this wait till lunch. We're going to drag this out to lunch. Really? That didn't fit right with me. That didn't sit right, you know? But that was their mentality. Their words were all messed up because they didn't have a renewed mind, you know? Man alive, good night. So state the obvious and repeat it. Speak the truth and create the future. We ought to take the truth and put it in our mouth and break through things that are trying to hold us back. If we're broken, tired, and sick, and whatever else, we just keep, the devil just keeps us in an awful circle. It's just repetitive, right? But if we speak the truth, it's like an arrow. We just, or like an airplane. It goes from this point, and you're gliding, you're going, you're moving. That's what the Word of God will do for you. All right? Now, I told you last week about the bullet. You remember the bullet I had, the shotgun shell? And I took it, and I threw it across the floor, and nobody jumped, thinking it was going to be it's not a grenade. It was a shotgun shell. There's certain things they have to do. And I told you last week, faith, we have to know how faith operates. Love, words, and actions. Well, tonight, we're just talking about our words. We're going to talk about our words, right? That's what Pastor Andy's asked us to talk about. He's talking about the power in our words, power in our tongue, the miracle that's in our mouth. Well, with that shotgun shell, you have to have a gun to operate. You have to have a gun to shoot it. But with that, you need a target. Because what happens is, with our, and I told you to pull the trigger, and that's our tongue. Because really, if you kind of look at that scenario, the gun, it, you know, the shell has a couple things inside of it. It has some BBs, talking about like for ducks. It has some BBs in there. They're the ones that are going to get the work done at the other end. But if my faith doesn't have a direction, I can just shoot anywhere, but I'm not going to kill anything.
I'm not going to hit anything. I'm not going to hit my target, right? I'm not going to reach my goal. But if my faith has some kind of focus and I can see and I'm looking, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to accomplish with my giving this year. This is what I want to accomplish with my job this year. This is what I want to accomplish through the kids this year. This is what I want to do in the yard this year. This is what I want to do with the house note this year. You know, getting some vision behind it. So this is what I want to do. Now you have a target. Get with the Holy Ghost. He'll tell you what to put on your list. Right? So now you've got a target. And you got this thing. Well, you can swing that shotgun all you want, back and forth, and it's not going to do a thing until you pull the trigger. It's not going to reach the goal until you pull the trigger. Now, inside that bullet, what makes it shoot? You got those little BBs in there, right? And you got to get those BBs out. Well, the BBs kind of represent, you know, remember the story I told you last week? Y'all know the story, 1 Samuel chapter 17, David and Goliath, right? He went and he started talking to the giant. He went around and saw all the guys that were quiet and still and just sitting back, and they were afraid. They were quiet. They were afraid. He shut them up. Dave came in and said, "What's going on?" You know, "Oh, this giant. Oh yeah, really? Well, who's he talking about? What's he saying? Oh, really? He's talking about my God, our God? He's talking about my God. This guy is spouting his mouth about my God." Right? So David takes on upon himself that we're going to take this guy out. Right? And he told the giant, he said, "Before this day's out, I'm going to cut your head off, and I'm going to feed you to the birds." That's what David said. He came out of his mouth. Faith that's in him starts coming out, right? So he goes to the brook. Remember I told you he went to the brook. He grabs 5 stones, and he put them in his pouch, and then eventually he put them in his sling, right? So he goes to the brook, which is life, which is God. He gets some smooth stones, which are scriptures, which is the word. He puts them in his pouch, which is your heart. It represents your heart. Puts them in him, or in you. Puts him in his pouch. He goes and faces his giant. He's not afraid. He goes and faces his giant. He puts the word of God, those stones, in his sling. And he's you know, swinging it around. There's no power in this. It's just potential. That's all it is. Just potential. Because this stone that's in that sling is swinging around in a circle. Around and around and around. And that potential, and that momentum, what happens is when he releases it, it's spinning, 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 whoosh, it takes off. Well, with that sling, what that is, it's our words. When he let that thing go, it's just like taking your words and sending them out. It's just like taking that shotgun and you're aiming at a skeet or a target and you pull the trigger, you let your words fly, the power's released. That's how it works. We can sit and think, and you know, it kind of bothers me sometimes when people say, "I have a silent prayer request." There's nothing silent about God. He wants us to say it, right? And I understand that you don't want everybody to know your business and all that, but at some point, we've got to get hooked up with you about your need. Because if we don't know your need, if we don't know what's wrong, we don't know what's happening, we just pray in the Holy Ghost, and that's all we can do. We can't meet you right where you're at. We'd rather meet you right where we're at so we know what we're standing on, what we're believing for. Right? So your words is like, when you speak, it's like pulling the trigger. It's like David letting go of that stone. He's directing it to his target. God cannot take, you know, control of the situation until you let it fly. I mean, I'm sure David was a pretty good shot. I'm pretty sure he was a excellent marksman, but hey, let's just be honest. If me and Pastor Joe went today, right now, and spent a month practicing with a slingshot, right, to hit a thing the size of that exit sign over there, we could take 30 days, we could take a month. We could take 3 years if we wanted to. And probably the percentage of hitting that sign with a sling would be very, very low. Very low. We could be some of the best in the world, and it would be very low. What am I saying? Well, when we release it, it's God's. When we get the faith in us to do what God says, you know, for us to do, and we start speaking about it and talking to it, then God takes a hold of that rock and he guides it where it needs to be and he puts the power behind it. Now turn over a couple pages, James chapter 5. James chapter 5. It says... Let's start at verse 14. It says, any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him. I tell you what, go back. Verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16 is where we want to go. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does that mean? Well, you know, that's King James, but basically what he's saying is, and there's one version I like, he says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. What happens is, if you're in right standing with God, if you're a born-again believer, if you take and you pray, I'm not talking about, hey, Lord, just bless this house and bless me and mine and our dogs and just thank you for blessing me. No, he's saying the effectual, fervent prayer is a heartfelt prayer. It's one that you get serious about. Like you take it seriously that you're speaking it to God and you want to see an answer. Like it's something that's in your life that you want to take care of, that you want to see God take care of. I made a little note here, that word fervent, the Greek word is E-N-E-R-G-E-O, energio. That's where we get our word energy. So the effectual fervent prayer, the energized prayer, the heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. You know that bullet that we were talking about that has the BBs that come out? For the BBs to be, you know, sent out, there's some powder in there, gunpowder. That's what has the power behind what you shoot. Well, all that is like in this instance, is the Holy Ghost. It's the Word of God. It's the power behind what you speak. If you take the Word of God and put it in your mouth and you let it fly, you can speak it, you can say it, but there's got to be power behind it. What's the power behind it? It's the Word of God in your face saying, God, this is what God said. This is what I'm going to have because this is what I believe. I'm going to have it because this is what the Word of God says and I believe it. That's the power behind it. If we don't do it that way, if we just take a prayer and we're just talking to God and we're just not really serious about it, we're not going to get anything out of it. It's just going to be a dud. But if we put some power behind it, we put the Word of God behind it and get some faith built in our heart, out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak. What are we going to speak? We're going to speak the Word of God. And that's where the power is going to be. That's when the things are going to change. So if you're in a situation where things are tough, storms are blowing, you know, winds blowing, things are on you. You speak to it, you'll get through it. You speak the Word of God, you'll take care of it. God has a chance to grab a hold of it and take care of your words. That's what we want to do. Now, there's a scripture that Pastor Andy is praying over you guys and himself. Psalms 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's Psalms 19:14. He's praying it over you. He's praying it over himself. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord. What am I saying? Well, I'm just praying that God help me speak. Help me, you know, put things in my heart that need to be there. Help me control what I say. Because James says in chapter 3, he says, be slow to speak and quick to hear. Why? Like I said before, once you say it, you can't take it back. We can say we're sorry. We can get forgiveness. That's fine. But you said it. Right? Somebody's got a broken wing because you you know, oh my gosh, now they're hobbling around. Right? Because of our words. It happens. I mean, hey, we're just human. But what is that prayer just saying? It's like, God, help me. Right, and then another one he's praying is Isaiah 50 verses 4 and 5. It says, you, Lord, have given me the tongue of the learned, and that I should know how to speak a word in season to those that are weary. You awaken me morning by morning and open my ears to hear as the learned. So this is what I say on this one. You know, I actually pray exactly the way it's written here. But I just say, you know, I have the lips of the learned. I have the tongue of the learned. And I also have the ear of the learned, just in short. That's the two things I want to get out of that scripture. I want the Holy Ghost to teach me what to say, and I want the Holy Ghost to help me when I'm hearing. All right? And then there's one more I was going to show you. Proverbs 22:21 This is just a prayer. Make me to know the certainty of the words of truth, that I might answer the words of truth to them that are sent. In other words, give me words that people need when they come to me. I want to be able to help. Not me, but give them the word that can they can use, right? Put me in the right place and you know, bring things to my remembrance to give to them. Glory to God. Now, I was saying just a second ago about, you know, things in your life being hard or tough. You know, everything's a process. Nothing happens just like that. Outside of a miracle, it doesn't happen like that. You know Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. They were in the innermost prison, right? They were there stuck, bound, in a dark place, cold, wet, nasty, mice running around all the place, cockroaches, I mean, nasty stuff. Smelled like mold, I mean, it was terrible. I mean, I wasn't there personally, but you know what I'm saying. So Paul and Silas, they were bound, hand and foot. But how, y'all know the story, how did they get out? Acts chapter 16, verse 25, they sang praises unto God. And then the Holy Ghost showed up. The power of God showed up. What did they have to do? They had to sing. They had to pray with their mouth. They had to speak. And I can just imagine it, kind of how I pictured it in my mind is, you know, either Paul or Silas had to kind of get the thing started. I mean, it's dark. You know, when it's dark, you just don't talk much. You just sit, I mean, you just kind of looking around. I'm sure somebody probably had to start tapping their foot a little bit. Somebody may start humming. And start singing, right? Praising God. But it started as just a little bitty spark. James talks about the tongue being a fire. He says, it's such a small thing, but how great things it can do, good and bad. We just have to be sure that we ask God to give us the right thing to say so that when we start that spark, and you know you can't start a fire without a spark, you know that, right? In the 80s, what song was that? It's something. Anyway, so you got to have a spark. What's your spark? It's your words. When that bullet is in that shotgun, it hits the end of that bullet. There's a spark that happens and it ignites the powder, and that's what shoots the bullet. You got to have a spark. What am I saying? Well, at your house, in your car, wherever you are, you've got to have a spark. You've got to start trusting God enough to have it rolling off your tongue. You've got to say it. It doesn't matter if you're in the deepest, darkest place you've ever been, you've ever found, you've got to start speaking it. Find the Word of God, put it in you, so you can just start flinging. Every time the devil shows up and says, oh, well, you can't do that. What about this? You know, and just start bringing stuff to you. If you take the Word of God and you throw at him, he'll get enough knots on his head, he'll quit messing with you about that. I promise you. He'll leave you alone. He'll find something else to mess with you about. Because every time he shows up and brings up your checkbook or your whatever and this thing you did in the past, and you keep knocking him knots on his head with the Word of God, he will stop, I promise. I promise you. Now, in the walls of Jericho, y'all remember? Where they, you know, God told Joshua to take the people and march around the walls of Jericho. If you don't, it's Joshua chapter 6, I think. If you look at that story, just chapters before that, God had brought them across the River Jordan. Right? And he told Joshua, he said, take 12 stones, pick them up, one for every tribe, and go stack them over here. Go put them in a pile, make a monument, do it. Make a memorial. So when it was time for the children of Israel to take the city, they had to march around the walls one time every day. And remember, I told you last week they had to keep their mouth shut. They couldn't say anything. Or maybe it was the week before, I don't remember. They couldn't speak when they were walking around. But when they got back to Gilgal, where they piled all those big old rocks that where God had got them through across the river on dry ground, they just remembered how big God is. And then the next day they get up, have their pancakes, waffles, bacon and eggs, and they go around the walls, right? And they just can't talk because, man, the walls are big, huge, heavy. How in the world are we going to do this? They get back to Gilgal and say, it doesn't matter how we're going to do it. God's going to take care of it. What did they do? They took Gilgal and they put it before their eyes. What does Gilgal? Actually, the word Gilgal means circle. It means infinite, infinity. What do you think David was doing? Yeah, circle, infinity. Infinite power was in his wrist. It wasn't his. It was God in it. Same thing with Gilgal. It means circle. They went back to Gilgal, and the infinite power of God showed up and reminded them how big he was. He got us across the River Jordan, and we got these stones out of the bottom of the river. He told them to take those stones and leave them for a memorial so their kids would know. So when their kids go, well, what are those big old rocks? Why do y'all go to these rocks and pray? What is that about? Well, let me tell you, right? And he reminded them about the greatness of God. We have to do the same thing, because what that did, when they went back to Gilgal, it gave them power and encouragement. The Word of God is true. God is powerful. He loves us, and he will take care of us. What do we have to do? We have to run back to Gilgal, get tanked up every day, and let God, let the greatness of God be on the inside of us, so that when the enemy comes, we can take our Gilgal right in our wrist, right in our hand, and let it fly. Put it in our mouth and let it go. We cannot accomplish what God wants us to accomplish silent. There's not a person in the Bible that had any great victory at all, or any victory of any size, that kept their mouth shut. Not one. Not one. They may have started out like Sarah, may have started out a little bit kind of not completely agreeing with what God said, but they changed and they counted God faithful. We're no different. If we've started off on the wrong track and we've not done what God asked us to do, and maybe we just didn't believe enough, ask him, Mark chapter 9, help me with my unbelief. Get me to the place where I can speak confidently to know that you'll take care of me. That's what God's asking for all of us. Whether we've been in a faith church for 20 or 30 years or not, it doesn't matter if you've been in church 30 years, if you've been in church 30 minutes tonight. Faith can work anywhere, anytime. We have to put the Word of God in our mouth and let it go. That's one of the things on the wall out there. That's exactly why the vision's on the wall. That's just, Pastor Andy didn't want to do it, right? I mean, who wants to put all that stuff up there and something doesn't happen? Like, oh man, I miss God. Holy Ghost told him to do it. By golly, Holy Ghost, that's yours. We just let it go, right? Now it's his job. We'll do our part, he'll do his every time. So where's your Gilgal? Find it. Get it in your sling. Find that stone. There's just too many things that tie into those two stories that are just intriguing to me. Why stones? Why rocks? Why a brook? It's the Word of God. We have to get it in us. Have confidence in who our God is and what he's done in our life. Right? Get the Word of God in our mouth. That's where our miracle is going to happen. If we're sick, if we're broke, if we're tired, if we're aggravated, if we're, you know, discouraged, get the Word of God in our mouth. Because half the time in Psalms, David, he's in a place where it's not fun. He's in a place where he's got a battle ahead of him. But what is he doing? He's taking the Word of God. He's speaking to God. He's ministering to God, right? He's speaking to him. He's singing to him. What's he doing? It's just like Paul and Silas, just counting them faithful. Just singing, praising God. All right? Bow our heads tonight. Glory to God. The Word of God in our mouth. Father, tonight we thank you for your goodness, Father God, for your grace. Father, we thank you for your Word tonight, that we are going to purpose to speak your Word, Father God, in every situation that we have. Holy Ghost, give us the words to speak. Give us the words to say. Tell us what we need to do. Our ears are open and ready to hear. Our tongues are ready to speak. Father, tonight we just thank you for just healing hearts. We thank you, Father God, for encouraging hearts. We thank you, Lord God, that you'll show us the next step. You'll take us where we need to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Bow your heads just for a second.